Interlude 3. The Rhythm of the Lost. Venli attuned the rhythm of craving as she climbed down into the chasm. This wondrous new form, storm form, gave her hands a powerful grip, allowing her to hang hundreds of feet in the air, yet never fear that she would fall. The chitin plating under her skin was far less bulky than that of the old war form, but at the same time nearly as effective. During the summoning of the Everstorm, a human soldier had struck her directly across the face. His spear had cut her cheek and across the bridge of her nose, but the mask of chitin armor underneath had deflected the weapon. She continued to climb down the wall of stone, followed by Demid, her once mate, and a group of her loyal friends. In her mind, she attuned the rhythm of command, a similar yet more powerful version of the rhythm of appreciation. Every one of her people could hear the rhythms, beats with some tones attached, yet she no longer heard the old common ones, only these new superior rhythms. Beneath her the chasm opened, where water from high storms had carved a bulge. She eventually reached the bottom, and the others dropped around her, each landing with a thumping crunch. Ulim moved down the stone wall. The spren usually took the form of rolling lightning, moving across surfaces. At the bottom, he formed from lightning into a human shape with odd eyes. Ulim settled on a patch of broken branches, arms folded, his long hair rippling in an unseen wind. She wasn't certain why a spren sent by Odium himself would look human.
"Around here, somewhere," Ulim said, pointing. "Spread out and search."
Venli set her jaw, humming to the rhythm of fury. Lines of power rippled up her arms. "Why should I continue to obey your orders, spren? You should obey me." The spren ignored her, which further stoked her anger. Demid, however, placed his hand on her shoulder and squeezed, humming to the rhythm of satisfaction.
"Come, look with me this way."
She curtailed her humming and turned south, joining Demid, picking her way through debris. Krem buildup had smoothed the floor of the chasm, but the storm had left a great deal of refuse. She attuned the rhythm of craving, a quick, violent rhythm.
"I should be in charge, Demid, not that spren."
"You are in charge."
"Then why haven't we been told anything? Our gods have returned, yet we've barely seen them. We sacrificed greatly for these forms, and to create the glorious true storm. We lost how many?"
Sometimes she thought about that, in strange moments when the new rhythms seemed to retreat. All of her work, meeting with Ulim in secret, guiding her people towards storm form. It had been about saving her people, hadn't it? Yet of the tens of thousands of listeners who had fought to summon the storm, only a fraction remained. Demid and she had been scholars, yet even scholars had gone to battle. She felt at the wound on her face.
"Our sacrifice was worthwhile," Demid told her to the rhythm of derision. "Yes, we have lost many, but humans sought our extinction. At least this way some of our people survived, and now we have great power."
He was right. And if she was being honest, a form of power was what she had always wanted. And she'd achieved one, capturing a spren in the storm within herself. That hadn't been one of Ulim's species, of course. Lesser spren were used for changing forms. She could occasionally feel the pulsing deep within of the one she'd bonded. In any case, this transformation had given her great power. The good of her people had always been secondary to Venli. Now was a late time to be having a bout of conscience. She resumed humming to craving. Demid smiled and gripped her shoulder again. They'd shared something once, during their days in mate form. Those silly, distracting passions were not ones they currently felt, nor were they something that any sane listener would desire. But the memories of them did create a bond. They picked through the refuse, passing several fresh human corpses, smashed into a cleft in the rock. Good to see those. Good to remember that her people had killed many, despite their losses.
Venli, Demid said. Look.
He scrambled over a log from a large wooden bridge that was wedged in the center of the chasm. She followed, pleased by her strength. She would probably always remember Demid as the gangly scholar he had been before this change, but she doubted either of them would ever willingly return. Forms of power were simply too intoxicating. Once across the log, she could see what Demid had spotted. A figure slumped by the wall of the chasm, helmeted head bowed. A shard blade, shaped like frozen flames, rose from the ground beside her, rammed into the stone floor.
Eshonai, finally!
Venli leaped from the top of the log, landing near Demid.
Eshonai looked exhausted. In fact, she wasn't moving.
Eshonai, Venli said, kneeling beside her sister. Are you well? Eshonai?
She gripped the plated figure by the shoulders and lightly shook it. The head rolled on its neck, limp. Venli felt cold. Demid solemnly lifted Eshonai's faceplate, revealing dead eyes set in an ashen face.
Eshonai, no.
Ah, Ulim's voice said. Excellent.
The spren approached across the stone wall like crackling lightning moving through the stone.
Demid, your hand.
Demid obediently raised his hand palm up, and Ulim shot across from the wall to the hand, then formed into his human shape, standing on the perch.
Plate looks completely drained. Broken along the back, I see. Well, it's said to regrow on its own, even now that it is separated from its master from so long ago.
The plate, Venli said softly, numb. You wanted the plate.
Well, the blade, too, of course. Why else would we be hunting a corpse? You thought she was alive?
When you said we needed to find my sister, Venli said. I thought.
Yes, looks like she drowned in the storm's floodwaters, Ulim said, making a sound like a tongue clicking. Rammed the sword into the stone, held onto it to stay in place, but couldn't breathe.
Venli attuned the rhythm of the lost. It was one of the old inferior rhythms. She hadn't been able to find those since transforming, and she had no idea how she happened upon this one. The mournful, solemn tone felt distant to her.
Eshonai,
she whispered, and nudged the corpse again. Demid gasped. Touching the bodies of the fallen was taboo. The old songs spoke of days when humans had hacked apart listener corpses, searching for gem hearts. Leave the dead to peace instead. It was their way. Venli stared into Eshonai's dead eyes.
You are the voice of reason, Venli thought. You were the one who argued with me. You were supposed to keep me grounded. What do I do without you?
Well, let's get that plate off, kids, Ulim said.
Show respect, Venli snapped.
Respect for what? It's for the best that this one died.
For the best? Venli said. For the best?
She stood, confronting the little spren on Demid's outstretched palm.
That is my sister. She is one of our greatest warriors. An inspiration and a martyr.
Ulim rolled his head in an exaggerated way, as if perturbed and bored by the chastisement.
How dare he? He was merely a spren. He was to be her servant. Your sister, Ulim said, didn't undergo the transformation properly. She resisted, and we'd have eventually lost her. She was never dedicated to our cause.
Venli attuned the rhythm of fury, speaking in a loud, punctuating sequence.
You will not say such things. You are spren. You are to serve,
And I do.
Then you must obey me.
You? Ulim laughed. Child, how long have you been fighting your little war against the humans? 3, 4 years?
6 years, Spren, Demid said. 6 long, bloody years.
Well, do you want to guess how long we've been fighting this war?
Ulim asked.
Go ahead. Guess. I'm waiting.
Venli seethed. It doesn't matter.
Oh, but it does, Ulim said, his red figure electrifying. Do you know how to lead armies, Venli? True armies? Supply troops across a battlefront that spans hundreds of miles. Do you have memories and experiences that span eons?
She glared at him.
Our leaders, Ulim said, know exactly what they're doing. Them I obey. But I am the one who escaped. The Spren of Redemption. I don't have to listen to you.
I will be a queen, Venli said to spite.
If you survive? Maybe. But your sister? She and the others sent that assassin to kill the human king specifically to keep us from returning. Your people are traitors, though your personal efforts do you justice, Venli. You may be blessed further, if you are wise. Regardless, get that armor off your sister, shed your tears, and get ready to climb back up. These plateaus are crawling with men who stink of honor. We must be away and see what your ancestors need us to do.
Our ancestors? Demid said. What do the dead have to do with this?
Everything, Ulim replied, seeing as they're the ones in charge. Armor. Now!
He zipped to the wall as a tiny streak of lightning, then moved off. Venli attuned derision at the way she'd been treated, then, defying taboos, helped Demid remove the shard plate. Ulim returned with the others and ordered them to gather up the armor. They hiked off, leaving Venli to bring the blade. She lifted it from the stone, then lingered, regarding her sister's corpse, which lay there in only padded underclothing. Venli felt something stir inside her. Again, distantly, she was able to hear the rhythm of the lost. Mournful, slow, with separated beats.
"Aye," Venli said. "Finally, I don't have to listen to you call me a fool. I don't have to worry about you getting in the way. I can do what I want."
That terrified her. She turned to go, but paused as she saw something. What was that small spren that had crept out from beneath Eshonai's corpse? It looked like a small ball of white fire. It gave off little rings of light and trailed a streak behind it, like a comet.
"What are you?" Venli demanded to spite. "Shoo!"
She hiked off, leaving her sister's corpse there at the bottom of the chasm, stripped and alone. Food for either a chasm fiend or a storm.